Hello and welcome to the Advanced Age Roleplaying Gamers podcast. I'm Nathan, I'm your host, and I've got my buddy Matt here with me. Say hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
There we go. That's the joke. And we've got Luke Stratton, aka Limithron, creator of Pirate Borg. You may, hopefully you've heard of that. If you're here, you've probably heard of that. Luke, thanks for seeing us again. It's great to see you and talk to you. How's it going?
Oh, matey, it's going quite well. Thanks for having me.
That's good. It's really good. Pirate Borg is doing swimmingly well, and we're getting ready for our second Kickstarter on September 17th. And there's so many things in the Kickstarter that it's like kind of daunting just to get it all ready to go. But we're really, really excited to like get this stuff out there for people to add to their Pirate Borg campaigns. So,
yeah, this is pretty neat. You sent over a little preview, which thanks a lot for giving us a sneak peek at this. And it looks pretty slick. And it's like a lot of it feels like pretty done. So,
Just a little bit of a quick backstory here. My big like magnum opus is called The Dark Caribbean. It's like this book I've been working on since before Pirate Borg. It's basically a setting book. But after the Pirate Borg Kickstarter, I was like, man, I really want my project to be done before I go to Kickstarter next time so that I could A, focus on the Kickstarter, and then B, ship right away rather than that, you know, development cycle that happens. With Pirate Borg, it was great because it did way better than I was expecting. So I got to give it like more energy in spots that I hadn't. But moving forward, I was like, I want to finish these things before we go. It had been like 2 years and I really need to like get the next thing out. And like people who are coming to our booth are like, hey, do you have anything new? You know?
Yeah.
So rather than just keep on pushing forever, we decided to do, like, I had a few adventures that were done that were in the Dark Caribbean that didn't really make sense in that book.
Mm-hmm.
And another one, this like vampire thing, which I'm sure we'll talk about, that didn't make any sense in there. And I was like, you know what? I could just finish those and put them in a smaller book and kickstart that now, and then go back to work on the Dark Caribbean. Well, so that's what we've decided to do. But then, of course, in classic Limithron style, I have to make it as good as possible. So now there's like all these new spreads in there that weren't in there, but it is pretty close to done. There's the bulk of the book is three adventures, and those are two of them are completely done. One of those needs a little bit more art, and then I'm still finishing up the third one. But we're gonna have those. The book should be buttoned and edited by a month after the Kickstarter, hopefully, so people can get the PDF like right away. That's the idea.
The layout for the stuff that's in here looks pretty great in true Pirate Borg style. I think the folks that are attracted to the Pirate Borg style, they're going to be pretty happy with what I can see right now, which is pretty great. So
I noticed even in the description that caught my eye from looking at, you know, this Pirate Borg or just many of these books in general from the genre. It said rules light. It was like rules light, art heavy. Right? I'm probably quoting it a little bit wrong, but
no, that's right. Rules true. Light. I mean, that's also a Mork Borg tagline. Rules light.
Art. Yes,
Mork Borg say these... they say rules light, heavy everything else. You know.
Well, and I think it's an interesting, it really is a concept that's kind of gone through these books, that these, owning these books, I mean, they're great games. You play the games, they're fun, but they're just beautiful to thumb through.
Yeah, right? I think
kind of a nice.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, for me, I mean, Mork Borg was a huge lesson for me in that I was playing a lot of 5th edition at the time, and I had started to like get interested in the OSR, but between Mork Borg and Nock, I was like, these guys are presenting information in a way that means more to me than if I had read 300 pages. You know, like I can understand more about how to present the world of Mork Borg in that example to a group of players just by holding and looking through the book, you know? And I think because of the history of RPGs and especially like Gary Gygax's approach, like you think you need a lore dump on people, and that I don't think that's true at all. I think if I hand you Pirate Borg and I'm like, look at this, now describe what it's like to be there, that you're going to get the group closer to the Dark Caribbean than if I gave them a Word document that was 200 pages, you know?
Right. I think also another advantage you have with that is that, like, think of like when Gygax and all those guys were doing Lord of the Rings, D&D. You had folks like them who read Lord of the Rings, but Lord of the Rings was not on everybody's bookshelf. Right.
That's true. Yeah.
And I think with the one of the advantages you have is for the collective consciousness. You could just say pirate, and there's not anyone going, huh? What's a pirate?
Yeah, we've actually found that I think this is part of the reason that Pirate Borg has been so successful is that it's rules light, so it's really easy to teach people, even people like if they're playing 5e and they want to break, like the commitment's so low. Like there's, mm-hmm. oh, here's the rules on one page. Like they're able to dip their toes in without having to read a bunch. But also we say this all the time. Like if you're playing with, you know, we call them normies, or if you're playing with people who don't, you know, who are didn't grow up with like Lord of the Rings, like in, you know, the back of their brain constantly, or, you know, being able to recite every line of Star Wars, like those people may feel less comfortable playing like a tiefling bard or, you know, like some eldritch wizard. They don't like have the like zeitgeist bumping around in their brain to be able to pull that off. Mm-hmm. But if I'm like, you're Jack Sparrow and everybody's dead, like, but you don't like, you want, what do you want? Do you want the boat? Do you want the rum? Do you want the treasure? Like, it's so easy for people to like actually role play. I mean, that's the reason like you see like fantasy themed parties a little bit now, but like there's a reason there's pirate birthday parties for kids. Like, it's really easy to pretend to be a pirate. And I think the fact that there hasn't been a game that like scratched that itch before is really crazy to me, you know? Like, yeah. I think the closest you could get is Seventh Sea, and that's not just only one thing. That's Earl Flynn, Swashbuckler, you know.
Like even our friends, there's lots of photos of our friends in pirate garb.
Absolutely. I mean, pirate cosplay is so much fun.
Well, and you know, right now I live in Maryland, the Maryland Renaissance Festival, which has been going on for like over 50 years, I think, is running right now. And coming up is the Pirate Weekend, which leads right into Talk Like a Pirate Week.
Sure does. Yeah. So Talk Like a Pirate Week is now only a thing because we declared it as a thing. It's really Talk Like a Pirate Day, which is September 19th. It's a problem, though, for multiple reasons for us, because it's always a big day. It's like our DCC day. We always try to do a big in-store thing. But games, like, the day moves since it's not, like, the third Sunday or whatever. Yeah. It moves. So, like, game stores are like, hey, we don't want to run this event on Tuesday. Can we run it on Saturday? There's that. In addition to that, we want to do a Kickstarters on that day. Well, then we can't be in-store and Kickstarting. And the icing on the cake is that my anniversary is the 20th. So my wife is always like, I can't do anything too crazy. Like my 10 years this year. Oh, and I was like, honey, can I do a Kickstarter like the day before we leave, you know? So all those things combined, we've stretched it to Talk Like a Pirate Week. And I think that actually helps people find our event and not just the thing that is a thing anyway. So if you go to our website, there's an events tab and GMs are getting like rewards for running. Basically, we have like this Harbor Master program where you get rewards for running pirate board games in public, and Talk Like a Pirate Week games count for both seasons, both last season and next season. So it's like a double whammy. But yeah, it's a big week for us. It's just like pirate culture's in the air. So I'm always happy to like, you know, see people like, oh yeah, it's Talk Like a Pirate Day. Oh yeah, of course your Kickstarter's during Talk Like a Pirate Week, you know.
So I just had my 30th anniversary party this past weekend.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
So, yeah, thank you.
Show off.
Yeah. so you got a ways to go, but 10's good. That's a good
one. 10's a big one, though.
Yeah. That's huge. It's crazy. It doesn't feel like that long. But I was going to say, does she ever ask you, hey, are you going to be doing this pirate thing like forever?
She doesn't ask because she knows. okay. It's funny. When we got married, you know, we wanted to do like a themey wedding, you know? And of course the first thing I said was like, yo, let's get married on a pirate ship. Everybody dressed up like as pirates. But you know, at the time she had seen some photos of me at a pirate party with an ex-girlfriend, you know, like from years before. And she's like, no, that's a thing with your ex. Yeah, and I was No. You don't understand. Like, she just happened to be there because, you know, we ended up doing like Hobbit themed, which was actually way better for a wedding. It was a little less costumey. And, but yeah, she gets the drill. And, you know, like I said about quote normies playing RPGs, like the only one I can get her to have fun playing is Pirate Borg. Like, we tried playing 5e and there's just like too many, like, she's not going to read the player's handbook ever. She's going to show up and play, you know? Well, when it's like you have 5 stats and 1 ability, like, it's easy, you know. So
yeah, like tell me when to roll the dice.
yeah. She's had a blast. Yeah. So
So that's great. There's so many milestones. I'm glad that Pirate Borg is doing so well for you. So when we talked at Gen Con a couple years ago, was it
was it Gen Con or PAX?
Was it PAX?
Oh, God. I mean, it all blurs together for me. So
yeah, I know. It's like a haze of crowds and people.
We talked to you in person at a convention. I'll look it up afterwards. But you had talked about your, what you call your magnum opus a few minutes ago, Dark Caribbean. So that was kind of on your mind then, and it seems like it was a year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that. Where are you at with that right now?
So the Dark Caribbean, it's basically a setting book. It's probably going to be around 300 pages. Mm. It's basically all of the NPCs and islands and major locations in the Dark Caribbean, and then like detailed kind of event encounter pages on the major events that happen in the Dark Caribbean. So like I spent the first portion of this year, I knew I wanted to do a deck of playing cards that had art from every NPC. Mm-hmm. So there are 54 core NPCs in the Dark Caribbean, and the beginning of the year I illustrated all 54. So those are done. And each one will have like a, you know, maybe like a third page column of like what they want, you know, like their desires and their like appearance and their manner. I've really worked hard to like kind of, I'm not sure it's going to make it into the final book, but we've been doing things like play this guy like this actor from that movie, but in this vibe, you know, like trying to give GMs like the way to just pull them off the page as quickly as possible. It's really going to be like a sandbox campaign setting. It's not like one of those lore dumps. Like I have this really great book, but it's the Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay Lustria book. And I love the book, but it's like basically 300 pages of lore dump and like no ways to run adventures really. Like there's a few maps, but like the Dark Caribbean is like when you open up the page for say Tortuga, there's a map of the island, there's a map of Tortuga. And then there's like a bunch of tables on like what's going on right now, like what hooks are going on that your players can interact with. So it's much more of a like, hey, there's no way I'm going to be able to remember 300 pages of Dark Caribbean, but like they've decided to go to Maracaibo, the dungeon city. Like what is happening there? And then you just turn to that page, you can show them the map and then roll on the table to see what's happening there. So that's kind of like the vibe of the whole book.
Yeah, I see you on your Patreon. You put out regular previews of it for folks that want to follow along.
Yeah, basically the idea is that like I really hate this concept of like, oh, I found a game I really like, and now I have to wait 2 years for the next book to come out. Mm. So with the Dark Caribbean, it's so modular. Like Nassau's done, Tortuga's done. I have maps for a lot of the other cities done, but like the idea is as they get, completed, that people will be able to use them in their campaigns and hopefully provide feedback like, hey, this entry didn't make sense, or like this guy was way too powerful, that kind of thing.
So they can start to introduce it, you know, before the actual book.
Okay, so there's like you're actually releasing pieces of it.
Oh yeah, yeah, we're on like six on the full releases so far. And they're fully usable. Like because it's a Patreon and people are like paying for access to this content, I really try to make them complete. Mm-hmm. It's honestly pretty stressful on my end. Cause if you were just writing a book, you'd be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to pause Tortuga today to figure out what's going on over in Havana. And then I'll tie that in. Well, I can't really do that. Cause when I release Tortuga, I want it to be like a complete thing, which is what we've done so far. It's definitely a bit of a challenge to tie it all together. But the flip side is it's immediate value to people. Like if you were playing Pirate Borg just out of the book, and you are a Patreon subscriber, you could just go download Tortuga and run it and then move on to another campaign. Like it fully works. Tortuga is actually really fun because it has an old fort, which is based on a real old fort. And the fort is haunted by the ghost of a famous pirate who eats hearts to kind of stay alive. But the rest of the town, I mean, if you're familiar with Pirate Borg and the Dark Caribbean, like the setting is driven by ash, which is the like undead remains that can be like ingested or smoked or snorted or whatever your group's preference is for like psychedelic and physiological effects. So basically like this fort is haunted, but then you've got a bunch of like ash dealing pirates that live there that like, as long as it does, as long as the balance between the two factions is equal, like they'll capture the ghost pirates and turn, you know, harvest their ash. So it's like this really like rich place for the for an adventure. Like, do you want to go fight and take out some ghosts, or you want to try to take over the fort, or do you want to, like, you know? So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. So that's really cool that you're just kind of giving folks that subscribe to your Patreon just a you know, all that detail on places that they can go and adventure yeah. sites and things like that. And there's like previews, it looks like, to the upcoming Kickstarter, and you've got tons and tons of maps. Like, how much content are you pumping out a month on Patreon?
Well, before Pirate Borg, we were doing like 3 or 4 battle maps a month. And Pirate Borg kind of changed all that because, you know, making adventures is a lot more work because you have to write them and lay them out and then illustrate them. I think once this Kickstarter finishes and I get it sent to the printer, I'll go back to like a regular schedule of working on Dark Caribbean half the month and then doing a big release for that and then doing maps and content for the other half. Like, for example, one of the things we have planned coming up in this book, in Down Among the Dead, there's a stretch goal for a Jolly Roger generator, which I actually already have written, but I you know, I'm not going to do the layout and all the art for it unless we hit the stretch goal. But basically you can roll up, like, what's the pirate flag look like? And there's like a couple D100 tables and then like the condition of the flag. And I worked really hard to make sure that the generator can hypothetically could roll all the real pirate flags, you know, if you had really, really lucky roll, you know. But one of the things on the Patreon will be I'll have drag and drop pieces of art for every all 200 entries on there. So like if you rolled up, oh, it's got two skulls and one of them has demon horns and then crossbones underneath, you could go drag those icons onto a blank flag and then print it out, or, you know, send it to a real flag printer if you're crazy, or make it, put it into your VTT. So that's kind of the stuff that, like, I really am, I've always been excited about as a GM, but that, like, I feel like no other game companies really do, where you can mix the like digital asset world with what you're making in the book.
Or maybe it really wasn't possible when we all got started, but but yeah, now I see more and more things like that where they're trying to include digital assets, whether it's music or some sort of graphics or NPC cards like you're talking about.
Yeah, you get it more now that there are kind of like younger, you know, indie creators, especially making Kickstarters. But I guess that what I'm trying to say is that the Patreon really lets those things, you know, like there's no way I could, you know, spend a month making a bunch of asset kit pack for a flag generator and then like put it into an online store and hope that that makes sense. Like it's not, there's not going to be a demand for that. But if you're in the Patreon and you're playing a pirate game already, you're totally going to use that. Like it may not be worth the purchase, but it's definitely worth part of the overall package. You know, that's kind of the idea of crowd. Patreon is just another form of crowdfunding. So.
I mean, it gives, you know, indie creators like you an opportunity to kind of, find their audience, I think, and give them the things that they're looking for.
The thing that I've really loved about Patreon is it really, like, it's not a store, and it really lets me, like, make the thing I want to make without having to worry about going to market, in quotes. You know, that's always a good thing. If you're a publisher, well, what's the full product look like? What's the launch date like? Well, with Patreon, you don't do any of that. You just make it and then give it to people, and they can use it right away, and everybody wins. So,
Matt, do you have any questions off the top of your head before we dive into the Kickstarter stuff?
Oh, no, I was getting ready to dive into the Kickstarter.
Well, do you want to start? So we're going to get into Down Among the Dead now. The core of it is three adventures. And I want to get to the adventures in a second, but do you have anything off the top of your head, Matt, that you want to?
No, in fact, like I said, so I do have a couple of questions, but they are tied to the adventure. But first, I'm looking at the overview of the Kickstarter products. It's a lot of stuff, and it's an amazing. There's a lot of this is very exciting, and I see there's a lot of extra stuff too because you're going to be offering as part of your stretch goals the previous materials as well. So someone could really jump in and not just kickstart for what's coming out, but they could kickstart and get basically the whole Pirate Borg suite of products.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I think add-ons is maybe a better word than stretch goals because they're not. You don't have to unlock them. They're,
it's true. Right. Right. Okay.
But yeah. So what? Like, it was just going to be this book. Like, let's just do a small Kickstarter. But we actually had like kind of through a fortuitous turn of events, I brought on a new full-time staff member named Zach Goins, who was with World of Game Design. We've run into Zach a bunch on the convention circuit. Mm-hmm. And when he kind of was moving on to new projects, we like knew we had to have him, and his specialty is Kickstarters. I think he's run like 50 of them or something.
Wow.
So like with him on board, I'm able to like do things in the Kickstarter without having to do like do all the manufacturing side. Like he can help take care of that. And that's been great because then we can be like, let the creative side drive what we're making rather than like, that's going to be too much work. So we went from just this one book to like, there's the core book. We're doing a like giant A0, which is like 4 feet long, battle map for both of the adventures. We're doing dice that are like, I'm a dice goblin. So like making my own dice is like a dream come true. It's not just like a cash grab. It's like, these are, we'll pay extra to have these dice, you know?
Yeah.
And then at Gen Con this year, I picked up the Arkham Horror, role-playing game. They had a starter set, you know, and it was $35, and it has all these assets in it. Like it has like puzzles and tokens and battle maps and booklets. And I was like, dude, we should just do one of these. Like, this is such a cool product. And like Pirate Borg has all these assets because of the Patreon years of making pirate ships. It's like, this would be really easy to do. So then we blew it from just the book to now we're doing a starter set as well with a new adventure in it. That's called Trapped in the Tropics. And it's going to have, you know, three big battle maps, punch out tokens for creatures and for ship combat. It's going to have laminated character creation guides. The number of things in this kit is like insane. So I'm really excited about that. And then, of course, we're doing, you can get all the old stuff. Like, since there's the starter kit, it's really kind of like, hey, Pirate Borg did really well the first time, but like that was before it got all the press hype, and that's before it was signed to Free League. And now, yeah, like this second time around, like Free League is on board and they're helping with like all our worldwide distribution. And it's just, I don't know, it's really exciting to see all these like little pieces falling into place. And we've also learned like what GMs need at the table. So we're trying to get some of those things into Kickstarter so that you can get, you know, you don't have to outsource as, you know, many things as you would with just a book, you know?
Yeah. I am a huge fan of starter kits, and I've talked to, we've talked to Chaosium a few times, and I always compliment them on their starter kits.
Those are really great too. Yeah.
So yeah. And Free League's been doing great with them also. So
I think Free League is probably why we're doing it, because their starter kits are so good. It's just really great way to get people into an experience, not just into a game, you know, because with all the little visual aids and stuff,
it really helps. That, you know, having the dice, the maps, and the tokens, and all that, and pre-gens and all that, just helps.
Yeah. So one cool thing about Pirate Borg is we're not doing pre-gens because Pirate Borg is so easy to roll up characters. That's part of the experience. But instead of pre-gens, we're doing these laminated character creation cheat sheets and PC sheets so that you can. It'll actually come with a little dry erase marker so you can go through the creation all together, which takes like 20 minutes max, you know.
You know a system's lethal when you create your character with dry erase.
Yes. Well, I mean, the character sheets are pen and paper. But But you are correct. There's a reason we provide the experience in the box, you know. And the other thing, too, is that Trapped in the Tropics is going to be really like, for listeners familiar with Buried in the Bahamas, that's kind of our like flagship intro adventure that I wrote after Pirate Borg. We're going to kind of take that one step further, and like, it's going to be an adventure that's totally usable by veteran GMs, but it'll also have little like liner notes for people who are maybe, if not brand new to the hobby, brand new to Pirate Borg. So the idea there is that, you know, you could buy, you know, hypothetically buy the starter kit at Barnes and Noble or wherever, and it could be people's first RPG. Whereas the Pirate Borg book was always like, oh, I'm just making a hack of Mork Borg. But now it's like, we realize that this game is fun enough for all, you know, people try to play at all ages. They try to do like One Piece hacks. They do Pirates of the Caribbean hacks. So it's like, it's cool to like, you know, think about it more as not just this spin off of an indie game that I love, but something that's a little bit more mass market appeal, I guess.
It's good to see that people are putting stuff like you said, in the kits, like dice and, yeah. and little like battle chips. It's funny. I was showing my son a picture of an old video game, right? I'd found like a thing online. It was a picture of like the video game that you used to go buy at the store, and it had all the pieces laid out, and it was the box. It had a yeah. rule book. It had this little, it was an old TSR one. It had like a decoder circle for like runes, and it had a map. And it was like, you used to get all those things. Now I go to Steam and I hit download.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
I mean, it was, that was part of the gameplay. It was like, you needed to read the manual to know what was going on. Like, I remember the right. marathon box for the old Mac computer game that, you know, the guys from Bungie ended up making Halo from. Like, that had lore in the manual that was nowhere else. Like, you did not know what you were doing on the space station unless you read the manual, you know? Hmm. Yeah, I'm into that kind of stuff. I'm into artifacts, too. It's just cool to have, like, cool little artifacts, especially, like, official ones, you know? It's always cool to have. Well,
you have those coins, right? You're going to have a coin that's available?
There's almost so too many things in this Kickstarter for me to even talk about. So there's a bunch of things. First off, we're doing this VIP thing where if you pledge a dollar now, you get a big Charon's Opal that's also a D2, or Charon's Opal, however you want to say it. That you can also buy it in the Kickstarter, but if you VIP back, you get it now, and then the dollar comes off your shipping later. So it's basically just like, you know how Kickstarters are, you want to get people to go right away because that gets the momentum, you know. Yeah. We're doing that. Then we're also doing a bag of Devil's Luck D2s, which are a little bit smaller, but the idea is, oh, you've got Devil's Luck, which is like the meta currency in Pirate Borg. Hand these coins out. I ran a poll with the VIPs to figure out the design, and we're going to do like a Pirate Borg style piece of eight, you know, the old silver coins. Mm-hmm. But then the back is going to have like a pentagram etched into it because that's Devil's Luck. So those are going to be really cool. And then we have another stretch goal to do, like, because the Charon's Opal is very lost to the locker, which is one of the adventures. We're going to do two more coins if we hit the like, really high stretch goal that will be for the other two adventures. One's going to be like serpent, you know, kind of Mayan themed, and the other one will be vampire themed. So
no, very cool.
Yeah. Lots of coins. I love coins. We just make stuff that I want. Basically it's like, what can we make for our company that we want to own ourselves? That's just all we do. You know?
You're making your own loot.
Dude, it's amazing.
That's right. Yeah. Make your own. Yeah. Well, I have a friend who's a super, he's more of the, he does play role-playing games, but he's a big board gamer.
Like oh, sure.
Big board gamer. And sure. I remember talking to him one day and he said, they did this big study and they said, what was people's favorite part about board games? Uh-huh. And they said it was opening them up.
Yeah.
Right. Opening all the little things, sure. Right. That's what people want to do. And I think, you know, so that I want to open up a bag of coins. Yeah.
I mean, we say this all the time. Like, we're very adamant about this, that reading a role-playing game and collecting role-playing games is playing role-playing games. Like, I think some people are like, oh, I don't have time to play. And it's like, did you read the thing that then you're playing? Like, I get like my library. I mean, look at this. Like, you can't even see my OSR library, but this is just
oh my gosh.
That's just all the big stuff over here. And then I've got, let's see if I can spin it around here. My OSR stuff. Like, I don't play all those, man. I always have to run Pirate Borg because people are always like, Luke, play, can you run Pirate Borg for us? So for me, like, I really just get joy out of diving into these worlds, you know?
One of the things looking at this preview for Down Among the Dead, before I even got to the adventures, one of the things that really caught my eye and I had to go through were all the house rules. These are fun.
Some of them are really fun. Some of them are sourced from the community. There's one of them is like straight up from Cyborg. I gave Cyborg credit about like a damage always hurts. But we found, you know, when people play a game a lot, I mean, you know, people play Pirate Borg. We had 100 events at Gen Con this year. Like, people are playing it. And you learn things like that are a problem. Like, I don't really like rolling for damage reduction. I think it slows down combat. I think it's like a little clunky and it's hard to explain. Well, like, there are rules in here for suggesting how to get rid of it, whether it's adding armor class or just making it a static number. But then there are a lot more fun ones, like, you know, we call it cosplaying in the sand. Is like, if you bring if you wear a costume to Pirate Borg game, you automatically get the gear that you brought. please don't bring a working musket to your
Pirate Borg game. But like, drink up me hearties. I thought about that, especially when you're bringing up the laminated character gin sheets.
Yeah, so like, when you drink rum is basically like a healing potion in Pirate Borg, but you have a chance of getting sick and the difficulty gets higher the more you drink. Mm. So we say, if you are drinking at the table while drinking game, that you negate the roll, which, you know,
I not like
for
that
every
role.
Table, but for some tables, it's perfect.
I like that rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a getaway that we, where we get up together once a year. And yeah. So I think we have to bring this, bring Pirate Borg to
that.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, with that in mind, we were talking about doing a cruise, but the cruises are like, they're either the boats are too small to run role-playing games on, like everyone would get sick if there was weather, or you're in a giant cruise ship with a bunch of other people. So I think we've nixed the cruise idea after talking to our GMs, and we're talking about doing like maybe somewhere in Florida or maybe on Ocracoke Island where Blackbeard was, doing a little mini con. So the idea of playing Pirate Borg in the place where it is supposed to take, like, you don't get to do that with D&D. You can't go to Faerun, you know? You
right.
Can't, like, you can go to
closest
England,
you can go is like New Zealand, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it's still like we actually finished writing and playtesting Buried in the Bahamas on a boat in the Bahamas. Like, it was like
nice. So
cathartic. Like, I can only. And then when we finished the campaign, we cast the book into the Nassau Harbor. I was like, this is where the game takes place. Like, it's so cool. So we're gonna try to, yeah. Spoiler, I guess. If we're working on the hopefully figure out in the next few years how to do that. So.
But yeah, there's lots of other good stuff in here. Dark Caribbean Island generator, coral reef generator, which are fun. That because I'm sure people have seen this before. Where you have a blank sheet of paper, you throw a bunch of dice down, and then you draw the map from that. So I love that kind of stuff. That's super fun.
I love those like drop table things. Really fun tools for GM. Like I said, you know. Prepping is playing, reading is playing. So I think the more fun you can make for the GMs, the better.
Well, we've talked about this before, a lot of these in the random, right? The sort of like, you know, if you're the GM and you've drawn the map and you have your map and you know what's behind every corner, mm-hmm. right? You're just with these, the GM gets to actively be surprised be on there. It's a more active role. And not saying that being a GM is not an active role, but it's, I don't know, there's a quality when you don't know what's around the next bend, right? Until the dice roll. I think that's kind of fun. Some people may not like that because they want to have it all prepped.
We hear this a lot, though, and I've experienced it, that like a game like Pirate Borg, I'm not saying this is an exclusive to the Pirate Borg experience, but it does embrace it. That kind of emergent gameplay thing is a lot. GMs tell us all the time, like, it was the most fun I've had playing in a while. And honestly, this is why I made it from Morkborg, because that's how we felt when we played Morkborg. It was like, oh, like writing three pages of backstory and like being worried about this like Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings level of narrative can be really, really hard to pull off. But like when one of your players is like literally a cursed chicken, you know, and and the other guy has one hit points and is missing an arm, like one hit point and is missing an arm. It's like, you can't not laugh at that. Like, it just really is, I don't know. It just really comes out. Like, it's a great game for conventions or groups that want to just like relax and have a good time. That being said, you can still run it long term. I just think your expectations are a lot different. You're not going to turn into Gandalf, you know, you're going to be like on your fifth character sometimes, you know? So we actually we're running this West Marches campaign right now that ends during Talk Like a Pirate Week, at least the first pass through. And we have this problem that we're trying to sort out where like the guys that survived are like, you know, +5, +6 and all their stats. And people who didn't have to roll new characters every session, it's like, and they're like, this is a problem. I was like, this is actually what we designed. Like, there are legends among you and then a bunch of crappy crew, you know? So, yeah.
Here's your red shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Now that's not for everybody, but if it's not for you, you can make some easy tweaks, like give them max hit points at first level. You know, it's that kind of stuff.
So dipping into the adventures, you've, come up with an interesting solution for those TPKs, Lost to the Locker.
This idea, I got this idea literally from Carl Druid. He wrote a Morkborg adventure called Graves Left Wanting, where basically it could be an intro adventure or post TPK where all the players wake up in a giant mass grave and they're not dead. And then they have to like escape this like massive graveyard where things are like, you don't really know where things are. Well, like I've had this idea for years actually before I even heard of Morkborg, I would run this Halloween. I think I ran it as a 4-shot where my players were undead and they ended up in Port Oblivion, which is this like you know, shipwrecked town on a bunch of islands in the middle of like a misty black sea. You know, it's not on this plane, if you will. When I read Graves Left Wanting, I was like, dude, we got to do something like this for Pirate Borg. I actually asked Carl if he wanted to write it, but he was too busy with Frontier Scum. So I ended up doing it myself. Which means, of course, I hyper-focused and went way deeper than I probably should have. But basically, you know, post-TPK, post-drowning, post-storm, whatever, even or you're going to look for an NPC that got killed, they end up in Purgatory. It's these, like, islands in the middle of this black sea, and you can't escape. Like, the rules don't work. I won't spoil it, but the rules are different. A lot of rules get broken.
Yeah.
Time does not work. There's a D20 timetable that can go from rolling a nat 20 is, you know, you arrive 20 seconds before you left. And rolling a one is you arrive one eon after you left, that kind of thing. So it's just very wacky. It comes with a map of the locker, but you can also use that as just a checklist of locations and then have your players like roll each time they travel to find out what island they find. Basically, they need to like find a way to escape this like dark, terrible place with like, there's hundreds of lost souls. There's the ferryman himself. Who, you know, he has, I think he has 666 hit points. And when he hits you, he does D66 damage. So, like, don't get close to him, you know? But it's been a lot of fun to write. And another cool thing about it, I mean, it's really like the flagship of the adventure because the cover is based off of it. But one of the things about it is we're really into this program called Alchemy RPG, which is a very, like, kind of theater of the mind focused VTT.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these things where they like to call them scenes where you're not loading up a map. You're loading like an image that the players sit and look at when they're all talking. Well, each location in the locker has an illustrated scene. You can use it in any VTT or at the table. And actually the Kickstarter, you can get handouts for them. Mm-hmm. But the idea is like, here's what it looks like at Port Oblivion. Here's the shipwreck town, you know, here's the coral gate where you arrive at and other lost souls floating around. So it's kind of got that like, did you see that Pixar movie Soul? Like mix Soul with Pirates of the Caribbean, you know.
Well, and I'm looking at the art too, and I can see because I've messed around with Alchemy a bit with mixed success.
Yeah,
but I could see how you could easily take the art that you have here and apply some motion graphics to it. And it would,
yeah, I mean,
it
would I talked to those guys the other day. They're actually going to do a premium, Down Among the Dead module. So they're going to do some of those animations built in like they did for Pirate Borg, which is really exciting. I mean, we're going to support cool. Roll20 and Foundry as well. Of course, mm-hmm. You can still load mm-hmm. these scenes in. It's just that they kind of, the aspect ratio and the genesis of the idea was from Alchemy. So
yeah, but it's I can see how this is like the flagship adventure.
Sure.
Just in seeing that if I were running this just the way it turns some of the standard Pirate Borg rules on their heads a bit or tweaks them a bit, I would probably run a I think probably for me it'd be the best way is run some regular Pirate Borg first and then
kill them. Yeah.
And then kill them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that would be great. But you've got a couple more adventures in here. There's Venom in the Veins. Seems more like a kind of South American.
I was interested in that one too, because that stood out because I don't think if I read this right, your main characters aren't necessarily pirates, right? In that one, they're conquistadors. Did I read that right?
You could run it however. I mean, I really love this idea, especially moving forward, that you're playing in the Dark Caribbean as different factions. Like 100% playing as a conquistador faction can work great. Basically, one of the hooks is that like conquistadors have hired you. They found this temple. One of their conquistadors is missing. You please go find him, you know? But this adventure is really inspired by old school essentials kind of writing, and that there are multiple factions at play in the dungeon that want different things, and probably none of them want what the players want. So they can like pit them against each other, you know, like I don't want to really give any spoilers, but there's a resource that can be extracted from this place, that one of the factions in Dark Caribbean really wants. That's not the Spanish. So when you get in there, some of them are in there. Some of them have died trying to get this thing out, that kind of thing. But it's very much I love maps. I drew this really fun snake themed dungeon. We call it Mazoan, is the culture in Dark Caribbean. It's kind of like, think of like Wakanda meets South America, where like Mayans and Aztecs survived and to make these massive city states because of, you know, the magic that's in the area. And this is one of their temples. But yeah, it's very, very Indiana Jones, very dungeon crawl. And for me, that's what Pyreborg, it's like, oh, you're at sea, you're sailing, there's islands, there's derelict ships, and there's temples everywhere. That's the vibe.
Yeah, and last but not least, Into the Maelstrom, which is your vampire adventure.
Yeah, we can't really say vampirate in our marketing, I don't think, because there is a book called Vampirates of the whatever, you know, but it's what it is. It's vampire. It's vampire pirates, but with a twist. It's, I guess, without getting too spoilerly, this is very much like 100%. This is I-6 Ravenloft or Curse of Strahd meets Shadow Over Innsmouth, like that meets Pirates of the Caribbean. Like the vibe. And as it sits right now, like the version that you guys have is mostly just kind of a dungeon crawl. It's basically a vampire castle on a first rate ship of the line. And you know, it's very like kind of Morkborg, old school essential style layout where you have like full maps of the side view and top view of the ship on every page. So you can really tell where you're at. And then the monsters are very clearly labeled on the map. But one of my stretch goals, and I'm like, I'm trying to make sure, I really hope we get it. I want to make sure it's low enough that we definitely get it, is to do an expanded version of this adventure that'll take it from less I-6 Ravenloft and a little bit more Curse of Strahd. Obviously, it's not going to be that long, but I really would like to add a town and, you know, like a haunted jungle with some like, you know, old ruins that you need to go explore. It kind of maybe place some relics or something around the Dark Caribbean. Basically there's a big bad vampire and he's got a cohort of other vampires, and it's like perfect for Halloween. It's going to be, so tropey. It's like almost a little, this is why it wasn't in Dark Caribbean. It's like a little too tropey. You know, there's literally a forest on one of the decks that's filled with ravens. You know, it's like
that is so old school D&D.
Yeah, it's still logical in a sense, especially the way that, I won't spoil it, but the way like what this vampire is up to kind of explains some of the things on the ship. But there's definitely some like Halloween shit in this thing. So, another cool thing. I mean, not to be too like salesy about it, but that adventure is coming out this month on Patreon. People can play test it, but they can also have it ready to run. Like, I don't want people to have to wait till next Halloween to run this thing. They can get it now and run it in October, because we're recording like on the middle of September right now. So,
It looks really cool to me. I do like the an old school dungeon crawl and having on a ship with all these different environments on each level, and what you're describing. The overhead view and then the side view alongside it really does help a lot there, because there's other games I absolutely love, but it's and they have beautiful maps. I'm not gonna say Alien, but it's Alien. But it's really hard to find. Okay, where's that ladder G7 go? And trying to go between the maps and just to figure out where the players are go. Can be really challenging, but just having like both views on a page makes things a lot simpler to run. So,
you know, I know you guys know I love maps, but I always have a problem with WotC Adventures is that you buy this book and then like maybe there's a big map at the back, but all the ones of the dungeons all have like all the spoilers and labels on them. And it's like, what? Like, how do I even show this to my players without showing them the page? So like really have worked hard. All our digital assets have like player versions. So if you're playing online, that's easy. But then, like I was mentioning earlier, the big mega map, the front is the snake temple and the back is the vampirate ship. And you know, you'll still need to like bring a black sheet or black construction paper to cover the labels. But the idea is that you could roll out this 4-foot map in front of your group. And it's like, dude, it's like $20 for you couldn't print this thing for $100 at Kinko's, and it's like
right
you know, like we try to make everything as cheap as we possibly can, but still as inexpensive as possible, you know, so people can actually use it. But the idea was like, you know, Halloween, roll this thing out, cover half of it up. Like you're up on top and like the ratlins and shrouds are made of spider webs instead of rope. Like, what do? You know, there's mist everywhere. Blood is dripping from corpses hanging from the, you know, it's like very, very, you know, one of those.
Yeah.
I digress.
No, it's beautiful. You know, like the passion you have for this and the just the support you've gotten from not just the Morkborg community, but just like, you know, scallywags in general.
Yeah, man.
I think it's great.
I mean, it kind of feels like, you know, there's just this vibe out there of people like me who are like, we need good. I don't want to, you know, like I said, I love 7C, but I don't want to play as a, I don't want to be Princess Bride. You know,
yeah,
I want to be Barbosa and his guys on, you know, I want to be like grim, dark. I want it to be, it's Darkest Dungeon meets Sea of Thieves. I say that all the time. Like I want it to be evil, terrible pirates in a terrible world. And I feel like, thankfully there are other people out there who are excited to hop in on that journey with us. So
it's fun to play the bad guy, you know, finding maybe sometimes finding redeemable with the unredeemable or irredeemable.
Yeah, I was saying this the other day, but like, you know, when you play Morkborg and you don't have an arm or you're like your teeth are missing, you're like, oh, I'm so terrible. But like in Pirateborg, you just expect that. Like, of course he's missing a leg. He's a pirate. Yeah. Like,
duh.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't make it. It's like dark, but also not dark. You know, it's like
And of course, he's got an undead parrot, you know?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Right.
Of course, the captain is a skeleton monkey. Like, that's, of course.
Luke, it's great to chat with you again. Hopefully, we can chat again soon after this successful Kickstarter. But
Yeah. I'll come back and talk even more about the terrible place that is the Dark Caribbean.
Yeah. Matt, do you have any closing thoughts?
No, I think this is really awesome. No, I think this is one of those games that we've done the Morkborg. We need to do the Pirateborg.
Yep.
Because I think this would be a lot of fun. And I'll just leave that as a last little worm in your brain is, playing a pirate hunter or like that would be, again, that'd be kind of a cool idea. I'd be down for that. For those of us who
real quick, at GaryCon last year, I ended up running a pickup game for some people, and I was like, "What should we do?" And I was like, "Pirateborg," and they all played as rats in the hold of a ship, and ended up with my buddy Haas fashioning armor out of cheese. And then that's, you don't need Pirateborg to get that kind of wacky, but it's there if you want it, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's good stuff. Luke, anything from you? Anything you want to?
No, I just want to say Kickstarter is on September 17th, which is the beginning of Talk Like a Pirate Week. Check out limithrun.com, our events page, if you're looking for a game on Talk Like a Pirate Week, or if you want to run one, get our Harbor Master credit. I'm pretty much everywhere at Limithrun, which is actually Sendarin for Light Wizard.
Mm. I didn't ask that before. I should ask you that.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
And all the links for Patreon, Kickstarter, social media, all that stuff will be in the description. So just open that up and click, 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 click. But thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next time.